is Sacktown Sports.
First upset of the tournament. BYU, 6th seed, lost to Duquesne, who is an 11th seed, 71-67. Duquesne, who I believe hadn't been in the tournament for a very, very long time. The 70s, if I'm not mistaken. And you see the sad faces on everyone.
The sad faces are pretty
And
great.
I did something that Chris Watkins does not like. To be honest, I told everybody I'm in about three different brackets. I really thought I picked Duquesne in one of the brackets. I did not because I'm a scaredy cat. And I said to Chris, I knew it. I knew it. And Chris said, you're that guy.
Yeah.
I cannot stand that guy.
Yeah. The hindsight 2020 guy,
mm-hmm.
you know, who always gets, oh, I would have had a perfect bracket.
Perfect bracket.
But I just, I got scared. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. And it's like, well, then you should have picked it.
That's right. The early goings of North Carolina.
Yeah.
The one seed. Got now, this could help. Basically, if you really think about it, you just want all the other teams that are picked to win to lose.
Yeah.
You could cook your Final Four,
right?
As long as your winner stays, you survive. So if you don't have North Carolina picked, you're hoping for that one seed to go down,
right?
And North Carolina, I was doing some not research. I was just listening to the broadcast yesterday. North Carolina, really, it was between Houston, UConn, and Purdue were the true one seeds, is what they felt. They really didn't know the committee who the last one seed would be, and they gave it to North Carolina. So basically Legacy. What I'm saying is North Carolina could be on upset alert. They are up 18-15 against the number 16 seed Wagner, who had to play in one of those first four games. And I feel like every season a first four team wins one of their first tournament games. But it is time for your chance to win. It is 12 o'clock, which means it is your opportunity to win tickets to see Hannibal Buress. Live Nation has teamed up with Sacktown Sports for your chance to see Hannibal Buress at the historic Crest Theater in downtown Sacramento, March 22nd. All you have to do is hit up the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline right now. Looking for caller number four. Caller number four. Caller number cuatro. To score that pair of tickets to pull up for Hannibal Buress this Friday. For more information, visit SacktownSports.com. Caller number four. 916-339-1140, 916-339-1140, 916-339-1140. You're not busy tomorrow night? Maybe you want to be? Call in right now. Caller number four, and Nate will take care of you.
Kings have some pretty good NCAA, like, in terms of brackets. Like, if you were to just take the Kings colleges, you got some pretty good school. You got Gonzaga for Domas. You got UNC here for HB. Obviously, you have Kentucky for Malik, De'Aaron, and Trey. Mm-hmm. You know, Davion's double dipping with Auburn and Baylor. You even got Duarte at Oregon. Yep. Trying to think. You got Jordan Ford. Shout out St. Mary. Shout out all my Moraga people out there. I don't think Arkansas's in it. I think we're missing out on the must bus this year, if I'm not mistaken.
Are you guys familiar?
Down year for them.
You guys familiar with the local kids playing in the tournament?
I normally, like people
from the area. I was like, I don't think Sac State or Davis made it.
I have two kids here.
I know Jared McClain on Duke is local.
Mason Forbes, St. Mary's. They're from Folsom.
Okay, nice.
Folsom High. And so is Mackenzie Forbes, who's playing in the women's tournament. USC, both Folsom High.
There you go. USC, a one seed.
Yeah.
Looking to make some noise in the women's bracket. I was a little bit surprised, or maybe not surprised. I'm not sure that nobody came to me with, I guess, as much as people are watching.
Yeah.
Women's basketball, I guess we're still conditioned to not do a women's bracket. I did one myself.
Really?
Just the Yahoo random, random one by itself. But I was a little surprised by that.
I think it's because people like to, you know, a big reason why people like the tournament is the upsets. And at least at this point in women's sport and women's college basketball, there's not really, you're not going to get those upsets. I mean, it is really kind of, in a way, it's the haves and the haves nots. And, you know, there's a reason why a lot of the women's brackets, if you look at the results, it's a lot of one seeds. It's a lot of Final Fours of picking Iowa, South Carolina, USC, And I can't remember who the other one seed is. But, yeah, I mean, there's
not LSU.
It's not LSU. That'll be interesting.
It's not UConn.
There's a lot of good teams. But that's where it's going to get exciting is when it gets towards, you know, the Elite Eight, when it is going to be really only the teams that everybody actually knows the characters on. That's when it's going to get really, really good.
Yeah, I know women's college basketball fans were a little bit upset with the committee because they put Iowa and LSU in the same bracket. So the latest they can face each other is in the Elite Eight to go to the Final Four. So there will not be a rematch and Angel Reese pointing to her finger, her ring finger. That won't happen. Maybe it still could happen, but it would be
a little bit premature.
But you will get a chance to see Caitlin Clark do her thing and Juju Watkins.
Yes, but cousin Juju.
We have seen the Kings do their thing throughout the course of the season. There's been a lot of ups and downs throughout it, and that's what nets you a six seed situation. Even though, they're only on a two-game winning streak, does it feel like the Kings are playing the best basketball of the season? 916-339-1140. Does it feel like the Kings are playing the best basketball of the season? And we start with one, Chris Watkins.
I would say, yeah. I mean, I think it's more so on the defensive end. Like, this just feels more sustainable and more dominant. Like, we've seen them win when they shoot the ball better than the other teams, which is a step in the right direction. But we haven't seen them kill it offensively and slow down the other team. And that's what we've seen here recently. And that's the best situation for convincing yourself that you can beat a team like the Celtics. You can beat anybody realistically in the NBA is having multiple ways to win. And too many times in the year and a half here, it's been, we win on offense. We hope to get by on defense. Mm-hmm. Now we're seeing which way you want it. We can put 120 up on you, or you're not going to score over 112 like they haven't in the past five games. So I think that's why I feel like right now is the best they've played, because you're seeing it on both sides of the ball, and it really is. They can play whatever style you want. They played the Knicks style, still almost got that win. They've played, you know, that San Antonio Spurs game was 131-129. If you just want to get into a foot race, if you want to get into a shootout, the Kings are more than willing to do that too. So that I think is more conducive to playoff basketball, and just in general, it's more conducive to actually beating good teams, which the Kings have already done tons this year. So I'm feeling good.
Yeah, I'm looking at the month of March, and the Kings beat the Timberwolves, and then they had that bad loss to the Bulls, but after they had the bad loss to the Bulls, they beat the Lakers, they beat the Spurs, they had the bad loss to the Rockets. That was Baby Ray's day. Yep. And then after that loss to the Rockets, then you had, they beat the Bucks, beat the Lakers, lost to the Knicks in a close one, and then beat the Grizzlies and beat the Raptors last night. So there have been a couple games that you would have liked, but there's been some games that you really liked as well.
Yeah. No, and you know, you have the Keon element of it too, where, you know, he feels like he's playing great basketball, that you're just excited to see more with him. De'Aaron and Domas continue to be great. Malik has kind of found a bit of consistency here as well. Everything's just kind of falling into place. HB, we mentioned at the top of the show, he's got five straight games with 10-plus points. So it's just kind of starting to feel like everyone is pulling on the right string at the right time. And Mike Brown talked about it a little bit last night. It's the fact that, you know, with the free throws specifically, I think is what he was initially addressing. You know, throughout the day-to-day of the season, you get lost in trying to figure things out. Like, hey, we're not defending well. We need to focus on that. Hey, we're not knocking down free throws. We need to focus on that. Right now, the focus is just let's play our best basketball and let's get these wins however means possible. And sometimes just simplifying things like that really do wonders. And it just feels like everybody – and, you know, I hate to feed into the everybody who's saying we're being negative, but it really feels like everybody except for Keegan Murray is really, really playing great basketball right now. And you have to feel like Keegan at some point is going to turn a corner here. He's such a good shooter that the fact that he goes 0-5 last night, he's gone 1-7, it feels like, the past couple games before that as well. Like, those shots are going to fall eventually, and I think him knocking down just like three threes a game will do wonders for his confidence. So I'm really not concerned about it, but the reality is right now it feels like everybody's playing really, really good basketball, and Keegan's just kind of the only one that's floating a little bit.
And we'll ask the question later. Are you worried about Keegan Murray and what he brings to this team? And we know what he does defensively. Haven't really talked about Keegan's defense that much simply because we've all been talking about Keon's defense. But you're going to need Keegan on both ends if you want to accomplish what I know this team from the beginning of the season has said that they want to accomplish. But they're getting there. They're getting closer step by step. When we return, we will see if the teams in the Western Conference, the other teams, are also getting there and getting where they need to be. By the way, a winner has been picked, but you will have a chance. Same day. We're doing a same day giveaway. So Hannibal Buress, tomorrow you will have an opportunity to win tickets, 12 p.m. So be sure to listen in, and we'll see who picks the lucky number for your chance to win tickets to see Hannibal Buress. When we return, continuing to talk about the Kings and also some pocket watching, what happened last night, what's happening tonight. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Save big money on your kitchen project at Menards. We carry everything you need to turn your kitchen dreams into reality. Renovate your space with new cabinets from Cardell. They're ready to install and come in a variety of styles. Visit our kitchen showrooms in-store or go to Menards.com for free design estimates today. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer for all of our hot deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
It's lunchtime at Tim Hortons, and we're serving up a special deal just for you. Our new $5.99 lunch deal includes your choice of any lunch sandwich and a side of crunchy kettle chips. Because what's lunch without a little crunch? And the sandwich choice is all yours. Like a ham and Swiss, Chipotle chicken wrap, BLT, and more. Made to order just the way you like it. Tim Hortons' new lunch deal. Simple, delicious, and just $5.99. Now that's a good deal. Only at your neighborhood Tim's. U.S. only. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.
Amid Rock on the text line says that January 25th game win over the Warriors started the streak. Then that's when the Kings went 5-2, which he says, I believe, is the best the team played. Then it all crumbled against Detroit. That was when we were in Vegas.
I mean.
You take the Kings now over that version of the team.
I think I would. I mean, if you include Keon into there as well, like, I think that they're just, on both sides of the ball, it just feels like right now, this is, because how many times have we just seen something as simple as this team, you know, Amid Rock even says there, then it all crumbled against Detroit. Well, that's been the difference about this stretch is, knock on wood, there's still a golden opportunity for it tonight against the new Detroit, if you will. But
don't be that team.
But yeah, you know, I think that's the biggest difference is they're not blowing games to teams like Detroit where they have done that all season long. And right now it sounds crazy, but the fact that they're beating bad teams to me is yet another sign that they're playing their best basketball.
Yeah. Yeah. And look, you got to take care of it tonight. Continue to do what you are supposed to do. I feel like they will. It feels like I hate to do the turn the corner thing. And we've talked about is it a sharp turn? Is it a wide turn? I'm not willing to say what type of turn it is yet, but this team definitely looks different. I think, honestly, to answer the question, we'll know more after this road trip.
Yeah.
We'll know more after this road trip, because if you do beat the Magic as well, and we're going to see the Magic getting into pocket watching, the Pelicans are at Magic tonight. So hopefully the Magic, and I know the five seed is slowly but surely going away, but that's because the Pelicans are refusing to lose right now. But this is a team that I think could mess around. Now, the thing is, if the Magic beat the Pelicans, are you now more worried about the Magic on Saturday?
I'm worried about the Magic regardless.
That's
They're
what
playing
I'm saying.
Really good basketball right now. I'm looking at it right here. They have won 8 of their last 10 games, and they're just they're locking people down the same way the Kings are. They haven't allowed 112 points to an opponent. Wow. Oh, my goodness. They haven't allowed 112 points to an opponent since mid-February. So we're talking about a legitimately great defensive team and a team that's also putting up a ton of points. Like, they're putting up 115, 119, 115, 114, 112 every single night. And so it's going to be a battle for the Kings. It feels like every time they play the Magic, it ends up going to overtime or some, you know, De'Aaron Fox from half court at the buzzer. You know, they play them really well, and I think we talked about it yesterday, but Magic probably have a little bit of bad taste in their mouth from the last time they played the Kings on the Kings floor. Franz Wagner went out early in that game. De'Aaron didn't have a good game, and so Malik just really put the team on his back. I think he had a 30-point night that night, and they barely outlasted the Magic. It might have even been double overtime. Mm-hmm. So even when they beat them at home, it took a lot of things going in the Kings' favor for them to get that result. It's not going to be easy tomorrow or Saturday.
Yeah, it's definitely not going to be easy, but the Kings have to take care of business.
Pelicans
themselves.
Can soften them up.
Maybe. Right. Before that, this is what happened last night. Not really a great day as far as pocket watching. The Suns won.
Terrible.
And the Warriors won.
Yeah. Everything that the Kings needed didn't happen.
Neither thing went the way that you would hope. And, you know, the Warriors had the Grizzlies without everybody. The Warriors played the same team that the Kings did. They did not have to go to overtime. But I think the Grizzlies, you know, when you're just not a very good team, you show flashes, and they showed that flash against the Kings, and that was supposed to be a game that they would sneak, and they...
G.G. Jackson had 35.
I didn't realize he was 19.
He's insanely young. He was the youngest player coming into this draft, and you know, there were some character issues with him, which is why he fell. I heard some stories about how some of his pre-draft workouts went, and you know, yeah, just a lot of immaturity, and you know, you tie in that immaturity with him literally being the youngest player in the draft class,
and going to the Grizzlies,
and then he goes to the Grizzlies, and you know, the Grizzlies, as we saw or have seen, you know, character issues are something that they're willing to overlook, or at least think that they can fix it in house. And you know, for all intents and purposes, it seems like Gigi's had a quiet rookie season on the off the floor front. And on the floor, he's been really great. I mean, he's averaged like 28 points a game in his last 8 games or something like that. He has been really, really good. But you know, it comes with the question of, you're doing it for a team that has 25 wins or whatever.
Right.
How much of that is something that they can bank on, and how much of it is he's just a young dude getting stats for a team that's getting blown out by 20?
It's still NBA basketball.
It is.
And it's still NBA defenders.
Yeah.
So
I'm hesitant to go there, because the Grizzlies the other night reminded me of a place where the Kings were at for a very long time, and it's just tough to draw any conclusions.
So who's a guy that was cooking on a bad Kings team that maybe people thought, oh, this could translate to when the Kings get good, and it didn't happen?
I wouldn't say anyone had as long of a stretch as Gigi, and not at like 28 a game, but like there's a couple stray, like Scal Labissiere 30-point games that had people feel. I still remember the game against the Suns. He had 30 points. You know, it kind of became a meme, but Ben McLemore always had his career highs on game 82. Things like that. Ray McCallum, everyone always talks about Ray McCallum, and he had a stretch at the end of the season where Isaiah Thomas and DeMarcus had to miss time, so it was like Ray McCallum, Ben McLemore, and just a bunch of guys who were probably also out of the league in a couple years, and Ray McCallum had this crazy stint of like 14 points and 8 assists and 7 rebounds for a week. It's just when you're on a bad team, it's like Andres Biedrich. Everyone always says it about him. He was a ridiculous rebounder on those Warriors teams, but it's also because they were missing a lot and somebody had to get the rebounds. And so he would get like 6 points and 17 rebounds every single night. So it's just kind of tough when someone's on a bad team to say, how does this translate to a winning situation?
All we know is that it's better than being bad on a bad team.
Absolutely.
And not getting
any run. A
lot better
than Jordan pulling it.
Yeah, on a bad team. For what it's worth, looking a little bit in the future for the Kings, the Sixers, that's who the Suns beat. Basically the same situation that the Kings will be in on Monday. The Sixers came to Phoenix and the Suns won 115-102. So again, taking care of business.
Yep.
I use that as a barometer for the Kings. If the Suns are beating those teams, you need to be beating those teams. Looking forward to tonight. It's actually a huge night tonight. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to enjoy a nice birthday meal and hope that to get a birthday beam as the Kings take on the Wizards.
Okay.
The Pelicans are at Magic.
Love that.
All right. Jazz are at Mavericks. Maybe Colin Sexton. Maybe something. Help us out here. And then you have the Hawks. I don't think this is going to go well. Hawks at Suns.
Wait, the Suns play like a three seed or two seed or one seed?
Exactly.
Wait,
so
what?
All the teams around the Kings are in action tonight.
Yeah.
Mavericks, Suns, and the Pelicans.
And you got to take care of business. That's exactly.
You have to hold serve, essentially.
Got to hold serve, exactly.
You have to hold serve because it feels like the Suns are going to beat the Hawks. We don't know what the Pelicans are going to do against the Magic.
Right.
They're a little bit further ahead anyway, and it feels like the Mavericks will take care of the Jazz. They're playing some great ball right now.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, even you mentioned the Pelicans. I mean, if they lose, the Kings creep a game closer. Like, they would be a game behind the Pelicans, one game behind the Pelicans. And as we know, there still is that Pelicans game dangling out there in late April. So I'm not getting my hopes up for it. The Kings will have to be at least tied with the Pelicans at that point in the season for
Pelicans
it to matter.
Pelicans haven't seen this team.
They haven't seen this
they
team.
They haven't seen
That's
this
right. That
Kings
is right.
team, right?
So, you know, you gotta just put yourself in the best situation possible. Of course, winning definitely does that. But on a night when you're playing the Wizards, shouldn't even be a thought. You have to take care of business. You don't want, you know, you just hope that a team like the Mavericks maybe chokes. You hope that maybe the Jazz can pull it together for a night and beat a team that you need them to beat. But besides that, I mean, really, you're taking care of your own business, and that's beating the Wizards right now. That's first and foremost what's important.
Yeah, because if you don't, the Mavericks, they'll be right there, and the Suns. Yep. Both of those teams
on your tail
have games against lesser opponents tonight. All three of you do.
Yep.
So who is going to blow it? Hopefully the Kings don't, and hopefully the other teams, the Mavericks and the Suns, do. When we return, which team do you believe in more? This season's team or last season's team? Seems like an open-ended question. Well, that's exactly what it is. And we want to hear from you. Which team do you have more confidence in? Last season's team or this season's team to make some noise in the postseason? 916-339-1140. Your calls, your texts, your sack chat. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Transform your home in one weekend and get big savings on everything for your project at Menards. Menards carries the largest selection of Purdy painting tools you need to get your painting project started. From brushes, paint, roller covers, and even paint kits. Hurry in and save big money on Purdy painting supplies. Get everything you need for your painting project at Menards. Plus, check out Menards.com for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
It's lunchtime at Tim Hortons, and we're serving up a special deal just for you. Our new $5.99 lunch deal includes your choice of any lunch sandwich and a side of crunchy kettle chips. Because what's lunch without a little crunch? And the sandwich choice is all yours, like a ham and Swiss, Chipotle chicken wrap, BLT, and more, made to order just the way you like it. Tim Hortons' new lunch deal. Simple, delicious, and just $5.99. Now that's a good deal. Only at your neighborhood Tim's. U.S. only. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.
Team, do you believe in more? Last season's team or this season's team? By the way, I want to make sure I get this right. Beam team. Is that every team moving forward with the beam, or is that specific to last season?
I think history will show that it's probably just going to be the team of last season, as in like the team that broke the streak, but. You know, I don't know if we have an official answer for it right now. I would say that, yeah, it's probably more so just last team, but at the same time, it's almost kind of become just the Kings' identity in general. Like, I don't think anybody would, you know, look at you another way if you said, oh, yeah, the Beam team is playing really well right now. Like, I think it's just kind of...
Sure, well, that's what I'm kind asking. Of is, are know? They yeah. the Beam team, or was last season the Beam?
You shouldn't be asking questions about the Beam. I thought you learned this week one.
I'm part of Sacramento now. And by the way, related. For those who weren't listening...
It's his birthday.
It's not what I was going to say. That's not what I was going to say. For those who weren't listening to the crosstalk, I announced...
That it was your birthday.
No, I did not. I announced my... No, Jason Ross already knew. So he said,
okay.
Jason,
right. but
Jason
said,
is right. a gentleman and a scholar. I will be participating in Mr. Sacramento 2024.
Yeah, you too. Said that, but like, were you actually, like, is that your actual...
Oh, I've already looked it up.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. I'm entering too.
Good.
I'm getting ripped.
I've known a couple people who have entered. I think I know
so
somebody who
won. So last year wasn't the first year.
No. They've done it for a while.
Well.
Yeah, they've done it for a while.
I can't wait to be in it. Yeah. How many Zonts have won it?
That's a fantastic question. If I had to guess, not a lot.
Wow.
You know, we know how that prejudice lies, you know.
Yeah.
We know how people feel.
I think Pooh Jenner won it the year
about
he was
the talls.
Here.
Well, we would hope that he would, and I will be in it. Nate, we can train
what
together.
What kind of campaigning does that involve?
We're going to figure it out. Okay. We got all summer.
Yeah. Going to our favorite restaurants and just being like, you guys got to vote for me.
Got to vote for me. You got to politic. I've never
feels
lost.
Feels like you have an unfair advantage.
Why?
Because you're broadcasting it.
Well, isn't that the point,
public?
Though?
There's going to be people that hate on me for it, though.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And I love my haters.
Haters are your motivators.
Stole the words right out of my mouth.
And it drives me. It drives me. And last season was not fueled by hate. It was fueled by the beam.
That's right.
And it was fueled by an electric offense.
Ooh.
Didn't have the defense that they had this season, which begs the question, which team do you believe in more, this season or last season's team? This is from the 530. Cliff, this year's team.
Wow.
Last year was brand new for everyone except Barnes. They'll be much better prepared and know what to expect from playoff atmosphere, pressure, and officiating. Can't wait. That's from Cliff in the 530. Wow.
How much a month changes, right?
It changes so much.
Yeah.
Because
there would have been people a month
much.
Ago, rightfully so even. I'm not saying those people are wrong or those people are fair weather or anything like that, but... no, I mean, it's just like a month ago, you would have been crazy for saying, or you would have definitely been having a hot take by saying, no, I think that this Kings team, look, just trust me, they're trending better than last year.
And that can all change tonight.
It can. It sure can.
But
it sure can.
But I think the belief is that it won't because they have been taking care of business. Let's get to TC, who always takes care of business when he's on the phone lines and has something to say. What's up, TC? You are on the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. What you got for us?
Yes, sir. First and foremost, hey, happy birthday, bro, Alan.
Thank you.
Yes,
thank
sir.
You. I appreciate that, my guy.
Off top. And then, hey, Chris, so what I got, the Beam team is going to be really here forever, bro. And so, you know what I mean? I don't think the Beam team could be this Kings team. You get me?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Beam, I don't want to diverse, like, between one and two. I think it's just going to be the Beam team forever because that's our little thing out here in Sac, man. We got our Beam, like the Beam. Like, that's our course. That's not going nowhere. Like, I think a lot of people would be upset if Vivek was like, you know what? I'm taking the beam away. That was just a try and this and that. Everybody would kind of be upset. So that's like the beam team. To answer the question as far as last year and this year, it's a kind of in the middle, but I'm going to lean towards this year based on the defense. I know the defense was kind of shaky, but last year we were just doing a bunch of outscoring teams, just running up and down the court, and we really wasn't trying to stop anybody. This year, bro, we're actually trying to stop people. We're trying to turn Keegan into a two-way player. We got Keon, and now, like, these last five games where we've been top five defensively, bro, we're scary going into the playoffs. So I'm going to give the edge to this year team because we're playing defense, bro.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Thanks for the call, TC, as always. It has to be, and I think we're finally to the place. And they could lose in the first round again, but I think we're finally to the place where a lot of us – have stopped looking at that team last season as the three seed and stopped looking at what that should mean, right? And to your point and what we've been saying throughout the course of the season, you can still have a successful season if you lose in the first round because of how ridiculous this Western Conference is. I guess that doesn't really mean that you believe in one team more than the other. You can't do this, and now we're doing the Brock Purdy, let's put him on different teams thing.
Right.
This team, last season,
right,
may have been a 4 or 5 seed, but probably wins in the first round.
Right. Or they could have been a 2 seed.
This defense is something that we haven't seen before from the Mike Brown Kings team.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I my pick is still this year's team. For the reason everyone's really said, I mean, I agree with the texter and just saying the year extra of experience, like the knowledge of knowing what they're walking into, the fact that, you know, we can say that they can actually match up with teams and have playoff experience just not matter at all, whether it be, you know, a matchup against OKC or a matchup against Minnesota. Having it not work against you is a big positive, I think. The team in general seems to have a better awareness of who they are and individually just the roles that they serve. Obviously last year you would say the form of the guys was definitely better. Kevin Huerter was shooting a lot better. Keegan Murray was shooting a lot better. HB was just more involved in the offense in general. But this year it just feels like everybody definitely knows what their role is. And I mean, especially if they're playing this level of defense, I mean, we didn't see any of this last year. So this is definitely this current version, these last five games, this is the Kings team that I would take against any of the versions of the Kings teams we've seen these past two seasons.
Yeah, and playoff basketball, there's no way to replicate it, right?
No.
And I know we spoke about the in-season tournament and what that means and how teams can maybe try to replicate it. But that's the thing. You're always trying to replicate it. It is not possible. And off the top of your head, Chris, does it feel like the Kings, just based on what they did last season, I know we probably did this at the beginning of the season, did they have they had more primetime games this season than last season?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Last year, I feel like I can remember that, like, there was the Knicks game, there was the Brooklyn Nets game, and there was maybe like two other ones. I don't think they had a single game, maybe one on ESPN last year, and they maybe had a handful of NBA TV. This year, it's felt like they've had already like 6 or 7 that have been on NBA TV, TNT, or ESPN. And I think they actually have a crazy backloaded national TV schedule.
Probably based on who they're facing.
Tons. I know the Dallas game, I think the second Dallas game is going to be an ESPN game. I believe the Phoenix game as well at the end of the year is going to be, it's going to be on NBA TV. Okay, here we go. I have the list in front of me. Sixers game coming up, NBA TV. The second Mavericks game, NBA TV. The Celtics game on the road, NBA TV. The Pelicans game, unfortunately, is going to be on TNT for the nation to see. And then the Phoenix Suns, the second to last game of the season, will also be on NBA TV. So that's 5 more national televised games that they haven't even gone through yet.
I think that helps. You talk about trying to duplicate or
I mean,
or
that
replicate.
Lakers blowout the other day on national TV definitely helped.
You know, just being used to those bright lights and seeing Keon, not just Keon, everybody in those bright lights. We're going to talk about Keegan Murray and whether or not you're worried about him yet. Things that you want to see tonight. At 1 o'clock, we're doing the Wizards preview. Keegan, We need you to hit some threes, brother.
Yeah,
0 for 5 last night. That is the one black eye, if you will, on the night, and you don't want to worry yet, but you are going to need Keegan to make those three-pointers. That is something that has been in and out all season long, and really the Kings have won in spite of Keegan not able to keep it going. And if Keegan has a season like last season, you're probably fighting for a 3 seed right now and not the 6 seed.
Probably.
That's how important he's been. And you got to find a way to get him going. But Keon Ellis has been going, and we will hear from Coach Mike Brown and what he had to say about Keon Ellis, who got his 5th DPOG crown. They might have to start just excluding Keon because you could probably give it to him every single game. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Brighten your home with big savings at Menards. Combine stylish lighting with LED technology with Fight Electric smart color-changing light bulbs. They have a full range of colors, allowing you to choose the perfect one to suit your mood. Save big on all Fight Lighting smart home products now at Menards. Shop our lighting options today in-store and on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Sacktown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube.
Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
So what was this, Chris? You were confirming the amount of DPOG crowns.
Yeah, it's really tough, man. This league is way too offensive, man. Everybody just wants to, you know, I can look up how many screen assists to the number Domantas Sabonis has, but the second I try and look up any sort of defensive metric, not that defensive player of the game crowns are really a true stat, but it's just nobody cares about specifics when it comes to defense. But yeah, it turns out that Domantas Sabonis is actually in second for the defensive player of the game crowns this season with 6. De'Aaron is in first with 7, and our guy Keon Ellis is creeping up. He's, you know, if we're doing sample size here, you know, crowns per game, Keon's got 5 already on the season, and as we know, he's played way less games than De'Aaron and Domas.
Yeah, they're gonna have to exclude him.
Yes.
Because you're going to be able to
give him. Yeah, it's like how Malik's in his own dunk category, and it's like, oh, yeah, hey, De'Aaron and Keegan can have this fun little competition between themselves because we know who the real dunk champion is. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, we could give the crown to Keon every game here. So it's like, you know, the whoever is in second.
Well, what it is it's similar to lighting the beam, right? Sometimes they pick someone to light the beam that didn't really ball out.
That's right.
Because you could pick Domas every single time.
Night. Yep.
Or De'Aaron Fox most nights, so you can't pick him every single time. But you can let him take the crown of having the most, and then shut him down. You can definitely do that if you would like. And here is Mike Brown on Keon Ellis and why he's been winning so many DPOG crowns and his defensive prowess that is something that the Kings have not had.
I was talking to one of my coaches a couple of days ago, and I was trying to figure out who he reminds me of defensively. And I'm not sure yet. His skill set is unique. His arms are a lot longer than what you think. His anticipation and his feel for a young guy, never been around it. Not for a second year guy that played in the G League his whole first year and got limited minutes so far. I've been in the league 30-something years, and I can't fully grasp it because he's so young, but he plays like an old soul, and his feel is like an old soul. But he's probably a little bit quicker than you think, a little bit more athletic than you think. Arms are a little longer than you think. And his feel, anticipation, hands. It's early, but they might be second to nobody. I'm not sure. So it's going to take some time for me to really figure him out. But he's doing a hell of a job for us.
On the round table yesterday, we were having a conversation about Keon Ellis and how good he could be and who he could become, basically a player comp. And you brought up possibly a top 20 defender in the league.
Yeah.
I know I said we might need to pump the brakes. We might need to see more. Frankie and Brendan had their thoughts as well. But I'll say this. It does not matter what I think, and you might be onto something, because for Mike Brown to say it's early, he did say it's early, but it might be second to nobody.
That's insane.
This is a guy.
Like he said, 30-something years he's been in the league.
Yes, he's been in the league. He's coached the Spurs, the Warriors, the Cavs, all of these teams.
Been some great defenders on some of those teams.
All of these teams. Yeah. And for him to say that about a second-year guy, a two-way guy, an undrafted guy, and Keon Ellis, somebody a couple weeks ago, maybe it was last week, on the text line, brought up a comp of Keon Ellis and Brock Purdy in terms of finding something that you did not expect. It is still early, and we're not trying to do the comparison because that's a quarterback in the NFL.
And Keon's not winning MVP or even touching the MVP conversation.
If I could chime in on that comparison,
sure.
I'm sorry. It's more of like a Dre Greenlaw, like a middle-of-the-round kind of guy, not like a Brock Purdy take-over-the-team star.
I hear you.
That's Jokic.
Okay.
Yes, I hear you. I hear you. The point is you're finding something you did not expect. Right, you found something that you wanted it to be good, but this could be even greater than anybody thought. You take that scratcher from earlier, and it was a $2 scratcher, and you're walking away with some nice cheese.
Yes.
That's exactly what we're seeing with Keon. We don't know how good, but for Coach Mike Brown, he was the defensive coordinator for a championship team out there in the Bay.
Yep.
And for him to say this, it's incredible.
Yeah, I'm trying to not like jump to crazy conclusions, but like Mike Brown said, he's been in the league for 30 plus years, and you hear him I'm at a loss for words. I don't know what to say about the level of guy that you think he can be, because again, it's like this is somebody who hasn't played a lot this season, and you know you're just seeing what he's doing essentially. I don't want to say off feel or off vibes or anything, but like this is not a guy who's, you know, just now settling into his rotation. He's just now getting established into the rotation. And again, I've been saying it, but Keon Ellis, just how he's going to develop in these next 14 games is going to be crazy. Imagine what it would have looked like if you had 80. Not saying, I know we talked earlier, there's people who say, why didn't you play him all year? That was never going to happen. But imagine next season what Keon Ellis is going to look like with a full 82 games, which I would assume he's pretty much a shoe in the rotation at this point. What is that going to look like? It's really exciting as a Kings fan. And again, this is just not a role that the Kings stumble into ever. They don't ever get some surprise defensive guy. Maybe you'll find, and you know, they've had Isaiah Thomas before, who, you know, was the 60th pick in the draft, came out of nowhere, ended up being an electric scorer. But
back in the league,
a defender to be at the level that Keon is at already, and again, he hasn't really put on a ton of weight. He's still young in his experience in the league. He's still got so much room to grow. It's really exciting. I mean, it's almost, you know, in a weird way, I feel like his defensive potential, I almost feel like how I felt in the California Classic after watching Keegan drop 40 in back-to-back Cal Classic games. I'm like, look, this thing I don't even want to put a limitation on how good I think it can be, because I do truly think it can be as high as the best in the league. I really do think Keon Ellis has potential to be the best defender in the NBA. And I don't really have much fear saying it. I just think he's got to put some things together, but he's really not far off. Just from a pure instincts perspective, you see a dude getting five steals or five combined steals and blocks one day by getting five blocks and a steal, and then the next game getting five steals and a block. he can, it's pick your poison, man. He can give you whatever you need on the defensive end. And again, he's still so young in his career, hasn't even gotten to the point where he's physically more dominant than these guys.
Yeah. And the question for me, and we have really tossed this around, is the wings, right? Or are the wings? Can he guard the wing position? That's what we need to see more of. We know he can guard the guard position, because that is, when you talk about a Jaden McDaniels and guys on other teams, that wing defender, that's what the Kings have been missing. And honestly, there can be a limit. He doesn't have to lock down every wing, because Keegan Murray is also on the rise defensively. Yep. So you're just building pieces like Legos.
Yep.
You're just building pieces trying to finish off the project, and you have Keegan figuring things out defensively. Now you add in a Keon, and even if Keon isn't as good against wings, if it's a switch off between Keon and Keegan, they cannot screen those guys.
Yeah.
They cannot screen with those guys, because Keegan can do well enough against guards, and we assume that Keon will be able, we've already seen some of it, would like to see more. Maybe if you see Keon on Kuzma today for some switches, let's see what he's able to do against a bigger guy like Kyle Kuzma. That is how this thing continues to grow and mature. And Keon Ellis, really, the sky is the limit. We talked about Keegan defensively. It's time to talk about Keegan offensively. Are you worried about Keegan Murray? That, and we preview the Wizards. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.